We will come back, and now we are to you, folks. And by the way, Karen Willett, we very much appreciate your comment, and we agree that the internal internalized misogyny, that many women have in fact learned to have toward themselves. And by the way, those of you who see some very, very good input in the chat, we will certainly save the chat for you so that you can see the wonderful inputs that some of our non-professional Michael channels out there are using, inputting, but still just as valid as anything we're saying. So I believe the first question was to by Jillian Elliott. I hope that's what we're seeing here on the list. So please go ahead, Jillian, and then Catherine Schwinger after that. Can you undo and
Yeah,
go
I'm
ahead?
unmuted.
Oh, there you are.
So one of the things that I think is a missed opportunity in all of this was that actually Donald Trump did not get 51%. He got less than 50%. It was 49 something, and Kamala Harris was 48. Then there were about 3% that were from third party candidates, but the largest number of the population didn't vote. And
Didn't
I think
show.
that, and so I think one of the things that has been heartbreaking for me, but also to me, the elephant in the room is we have a majority of voters or potential voters in our country who are not invested enough in the country. And also, by extension, or starting with not invested enough in themselves to vote, that
We would
they're not
agree.
invested enough in their future, in their lives, in their children's lives, their spouses' lives, their families' lives, their environments, lives, they're not invested enough to vote. And I think if we don't deal with that, I mean, fuck the incels, whatever. We're not gonna be able to move forward unless we understand how to engage more people. So
No,
that
we
was
agree.
my question observation.
Okay. Well, as always, it is a very useful question or observation leading into a question, I suppose. But what the part we will, if you will, make a comment on is the realization that you pointed out that when you use the word investment, and we like that term, because it reflected that approximately what I guess the numbers are estimated anywhere from 11 to 15 million, maybe even a few million more, who were so apathetic, so disconnected, so numb.
54%.
I'm sorry.
Over 54%.
Yeah, who did not participate. And that loss of shows an embedded hopelessness that we, as we said, is in the background Maya. And what's unfortunate is the young soul prod that gets people going, and the one that by default people will have allowed in this country to be engaged in, is that they will be prodded only through pain. And when the pain gets enough, then some action will happen. There was a comment we saw about 2026 elections, and we just want to zoom in on the sociology of that and a prediction. It does look to us like, yes, there will be elections in 2026, no matter how bad Mr. Trump really wants to dismantle thing and be, emperor of the universe in his own mind. The rest of the Republican Party are too greedy and have their own fiefdoms that they would want to protect, that having elections in 2026 would still carry on for a good deal of their populace and their electorate, the illusion that they still have say and so forth. So there will be elections. Whether it would shift any of the outcomes of the House and Senate, we don't think so as yet, because the milieu that has landed over this is pretty thick. However, we will say this: One of the things that we are predicting about this next 2 years that some of you will marvel at is the fact that you will see so much missteps and so much incompetency and so many infighting mistakes and so many tripping over themselves within this party that they will do a lot of the damage to themselves and therefore not be able to make as much headway as they brutishly and defiantly claimed. And we offer that as, if you will, to for some of you, perhaps a little piece of good news that there are still ways in the political process that it's not going to turn out that he's going to be putting on a new version of a swastika and that the army will become jackboots. And not yet. We don't know about the variability in 2028. That there are too many variants on that to come. But in any case, in 2026, it still looks like there will be, and there still will be some potency that you guys will have. The most important potency that you have, however, is not going to be, believe it or not, so much in the political process. It's going to be using your monies to literally participate in small groups and small actions and or in organizations that fight in the courts. Because it is in the legal battles, one of the things that is very much entered into the mature soul era right now is the emergence of legalism instead of, the good old days of armies fighting each other or bad guys and good guy cowboys, on the plains, or cowboys and Indians and that kind of more simplistic but old-fashioned notion and dichotomy. No. Now those battles are carried out primarily in the courts. So, the only way to withstand a lot of those things is to be able to muster, and again, because money will carry so much sway, is to, to devote yourself there. And then the mature soul era in the popular positive poll is involvement. Get involved, literally hands-on and doing whatever you can that you love to do or that you feel is important, and do it with other people. That will be really important to start. Imagine that you were all seed weeds, and you were going out and you were casting your seeds out onto the what seems like now barren soil. But you raise a few new lilies in the field, to use Jesus's parable. So those are the things that we offer as real, honest to goodness things that you can do. So, Jillian, we're going to go on to the next quiz question. So, Catherine, you're next.
When you talked about Janiyah's comment and
Yes.
response that basically as a society we were looking backwards while we are still moving forward, it reminded me of something Michael actually said to me when I was in my fifth IM, when I was wondering why I was sort of stuck and not able to see anything. And they said, "You actually are still moving forward, but you're so focused on the past, reviewing where you have been, what you have done, that you are not aware of the progress that you are making forward. And there will come a time when you will turn around and see where you're headed and realize that you've actually made more progress than you realized." And I'm wondering, the fifth IM is very similar to its mature soul level, the fifth level. Is it a valid observation that maybe this is part of the genesis of the mature soul level, that we have to evaluate and review and look at where we have been as a collective society before we can turn around and move forward?
That's an excellent question. A couple of quick additions to frame your question. The simplest direct answer is yes, but let us then kind of elaborate it. What Catherine is talking about, individual monads, or IM as the acronym. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, stop using acronyms. If you really want to make connections with other human beings and not fall prey to the modern world of convenient language, stop using the acronyms. Say it all out because people will understand those. It's easy to hide behind acronyms. All right, and that's not shaming you directly, but we just saw that as an opportunity to mention that.
Don't take it that way.
Okay, now the next thing about that question, is this as you're moving backward, but still you are progressing through time and space, but not necessarily recognizing all, first of all, you're not recognizing all the pitfalls and everything that is going to happen. And many of that other side of the electorate, they're going to fall into those pitfalls. You mean, you know, the collective energy that you folks have been talking about, that, oh, you know, may you get what you deserve, you know, people who voted for Trump, because many of them who are in, quote, lower castes. By lower castes, we don't mean less than human beings, but we mean economically and politically underpowered castes. They will become the very same dumped on beneficiaries as all you so-called liberals are going to be. No, Karen, we don't want to call them trash, but it's okay to have that anger about it. Just own it. So when people are going down this road, and as we said, it's the next 25 years, it's not going to deviate much. You're going to notice a lot of people are going to fall into those pitfalls. They're going to have the startling of their life. They're going to have collapses and failures and crying and anguish. And, you know, as they lose their homes and as their party doesn't deliver on a lot of the promises that it made, and or can't because of the very structure of the system or the very systems that were in place that the, you know, quote, leaders of their party said, you know, oh, their socialism or whatever they, however they vilified them, people are going to realize, oh my God, we depended on those. And when they get those shocks, that pain that we mentioned earlier will wake them up and then start them falling into turning around and being, first of all, in shock. But many of you who know this in advance, you know, your choice will be if you can turn to them and say, well, we told you so, and be smug and snotty and you know, hateful about it, and in which case you're perpetuating the problem. Or you can say, we know. How can we help you? But also, do you see now how this led to this, led to this, and we got to try something different? And it's in that orchestration that will happen. And collective as souls, we want to reiterate, you know, humanity on this plane, on this parallel, we might have chided you with that graphic that we showed you or that cartoon we showed earlier, but we weren't in a lot of other ways. There are many of, you know, other parallels that humanity took a leap forward collectively. This one, it did not. It said, oh, we're sticking with a few of these old things. And because the United States, with its old soul document called the Constitution and its institutions called, you know, the American system, have been the most successful up to this point, democracy, and democracy in its own right is mature soul oriented. Capitalism is young soul oriented. Democracy is mature soul oriented. So when those two diverged and people said, oh, I'm choosing my consumerism, capitalism and consumption over my citizenship, democracy, and so forth, and they will learn that. And that's a doorway that, yes, you will progress through, but you're doing it backwards as a collective. So hopefully that answered your question and added some more frame of reference.
Thank you.
Certainly. Okay, Russ, I think you were next. I apologize if I'm skipping out of turn. And so will the women from the botched abortions and women health issues. We can't see all of your comment, Deborah, but we will tell you one thing that we say with great sobriety is in this period, the planet Earth will be shedding a lot of lives and in various means, not just America, but and not just human beings, because Gaia has its own say in the evolution of this planet, and it will, in fact, allow for, many of the circumstances where there are die-offs, extinctions. Many of you know them as pandemics, as well as wars. Russ, so.
I've seen that, Michael, already. If you just watch some of the news, a quarter of Hollywood is leaving. Two things that came to mind, not necessarily because I've thought about it a lot, but because I had a number of people, just like this group, this wonderful group in front of us, coming to me in total distraught. And while I was talking through, especially with my daughter, why they shouldn't move to the moon, they shouldn't move to Arkansas or leave the country, two things came to mind. And one was, many of you remember George Bush being elected. Al Gore put up a very, very good resistance in a possible fight. He lost. And I thought, because I voted for Al, that that was also a loss, like I do right now with Kamala Harris. Shortly after he was elected, as you know, we had 9/11. And at that moment, the country and the world needed a bull moose. Al Gore was not that man. George Bush was, and he didn't stop. And the Arab world saw that we were going to come after them for the destruction that they allowed. I'm hoping something like that is in store for Mr. Trump. I don't know if he's going to fall to that level of ability or not, and whether he'll come to the fight. I don't think so, but we don't know what he's going to be charged with. But he must be there for a reason. The other item is thinking as I talk to some of these people. I'm not 35 anymore, just like Steve is not. And we've been through over 15 presidents, their elections, and their 4-year terms. And the country is still standing. The military is still as strong as it was when I was in there 25 years ago. That gives me some hope that this too shall pass. Something to ponder for the group here.
So are those, is there a question in there, Russ, or just that statement? It's fine with us either way, but we weren't sure you were.
Just a sharing.
Okay. All right. Very good. So I, the next question or the next person I see in line is Karen Willett, then Mae Stone, then Angela, and then Phil Fauché. Go ahead, Karen.
My question is, JD Vance, because we focus a lot on Donald Trump because he's the personality, and he's got his vengeance agenda and creating chaos and distracting everybody with his clown circus, cabinet. And how worried do we need to be about JD Vance and Peter Thiel and the Project 2025 agenda that they're all, I mean, I think that's what he's been doing. Because no one knows where JD Vance is. And like, is this something that has a, from Michael's perspective, a chance of actually manifesting?
We would say about 50% of the parts of Project 2025 agenda, especially in reapportioning the remaining like public commonly held assets, public lands, some of the public institutions and that otherwise moderate them. Are going to be either eviscerated or sold off to various degrees. And J.D. Vance is the there are a couple of main parallels that we noticed opened up with the election that after 2026, a couple of major branches actually show him as president. And so we don't know if that means Mr. Trump has either died or become incapacitated or even been removed from office by his own party, because in one of those parallels, that actually happened. J.D. Vance is not insane, like, Mr. Trump is. And the thank you, Karen. Yes, and we still see that eventuality again. Even though this time around, with the shift in probabilities, it does look like he will be sworn in again. And what he will do is he will make quite a public show. There will be some people that he makes a big fanfare over, after going after. What you will see, and we would agree with Russ, is that there are many in the public domain of the military and police forces, even though they are fairly right wing themselves. The idea of implementing martial law kind of dictates even they're hesitant about that. And so Donald Trump's ability to carry that out immediately would be like much more for show and for his posturing and his rooster crowing that, again, symbolically and energetically gives a big dose of upliftment to a lot of particularly that male base that we talked about, the throwaway male base. You're liable to see vigilantism from that group try to take out people that he has labeled as as enemies in whatever way they would do it. That's liable to be more the case. And what that would do, somebody mentioned, obviously the word civil war is pretty scary, but we would say yes, that the major thing would be is that this where the betrayals would start happening is, and if you go through any totalitarian regime, Hitler's or Stalin's or Mao's or ones even in the past from say like Napoleon, let alone the French Revolution and so forth, you notice that the so-called real zealot loyalists at first, the second round, they're the ones that are taken out because they can become so zealot and populist that they threaten the leader's own desire to just steer whichever course they want, whereas these folks are ideologically fixated, so they become threats. And so, and then the pulling the fast one, the sleight of hand, where people do these in the name of the leader, and then the leader and the law enforcement just pounce upon them, and they scream, "But I did it because you said so." Well, you're a criminal, and we don't allow that kind of thing. It's hypocritical, absolutely. But it's done in human experience all the time, in these kind of things. Probably, ladies and gentlemen, some of you have seen memes by one of the most powerful political writers of the 20th century. Jillian, we know, knows her well. Her name is Hannah Arendt. And some of her essays and some of her books read like a psychological profile of exactly what's happening right now. And then a modern commentator who is exceptional in being able to call a lot of the things, of course, is Heather Cox Richardson. And then psychologically, Trump's own ne niece, Mary Trump. So those three sources have excellent articulations about the history in the present and the psychological all mixed together. So
And
if you want, I'm
Tim Snyder on tyranny and on freedom. Tim
Yes.
Snyder is just, yeah.
Very
Sorry.
succinct. No, that's fine. That's fine to add that in, and hopefully people will hear it. Anyway, Karen. So, yes, J.D. Vance and the techno bros, as some have called them, are right now just lining up to do all they can to essentially insert themselves financially as well as in control of as many of the platforms, public platforms that either service the government or, that service public media and public communication to be able to make it the much feared but reality of 24/7 surveillance state. Here is the real, almost ironic benefit of that. That is so much data that nobody can track at all. However, what it is accumulated information that at any time a query is made, any one person can be absolutely seen for what's going on with them. And we mentioned earlier about cell phones. That is the window, the primary window that almost all of you have open to them, is that cell phone, whether you're on Facebook or Twitter or whatever public social media site. If you use if you're hooked up to Netflix or Amazon or anything like that, all of that data is kept. They know your habits, your preferences, and so forth. All they what they want to first do is they don't want to oppress you. They want to sell to you first. And then they want to have all of that data that they own and sell it back to the government, who then can become even a more effective dictatorship. That is their objective. Will they do it effectively and or soon? The answer is not effectively and not anytime soon. But that is the direction they want to pivot to go.
So that's a parallel.
That
You say it was
is the
50.
that's the parallel you're in. That's the
Oh.
parallel you're in. Yeah, going down that path. How
And we
this
can't
these next
jump.
pair
Is there like
I'm
a
sorry.
connecting flight? Is there like a connecting flight to like a different one? Kind
But
of just like, our next level,
for
like,
yourself, Karen, you've got, and all of you have no, there's not in the say the way that you use that metaphor. We would say it this way. You could decide what your seat is on the plane before the end of this chaos node, which is coming up at the essentially right around the the winter solstice and Christmas period. That time is when the ending of this 10-year chaos period will come to a close. Things will kind of fall into a cohesion and the trajectory will happen. And the main thing that you can do is not give too much of a shit about what they think, but be real clear about how you manage your data, your money, your spending habits, and your acquisitions. That is where you have power. And know that yes, whatever you do to one degree or another is going to be surveilled, but it's so much data and so many people that the likelihood of you getting pegged out or targeted is really small. They want to introduce the state of fear where you all self-censor and where you all keep your heads down and think, oh my God, I don't want to be the whack-a-mole that, they come and hit. Don't worry about being the whack-a-mole. Live your life and support all these different approaches that you support. These multi-granular forward moving where people are looking forward and doing forward things that a lot of the big financiers and a lot of the big government people will try and suppress, but it's so small and they can't make an immediate profit off of it. So they'll let it just kind of go. That's the one thing about the larger and larger kind of trying to control the totality of things. The more they try, the less it'll work. So operate within that with that knowledge and still live your life. Because if you live in paranoia, then in a lot of ways, they've won by virtue of you, as the first thing that Jillian said, and many of you even reposted on your Facebook pages, for instance. Is the first thing. Do not agree, to be intimidated. Do not participate with what they tell you. And that's the first thing when Jillian was mentioning the gentleman who wrote the 20 things to, confront tyranny, the Tim Schneider. He said that's the very first thing. Don't agree in advance. Don't agree in advance. And that's the best way to maintain your own personal agency, your own psychic stability, and your own sense of courage. And then you will be the most effective. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, let us tell you something. For the next 2 months, allow yourselves to grieve. Allow yourself to feel the sorrow, the anger, the outrage. And then the day before the inauguration, tell yourself, I've had enough. I'm getting over it. I'm choosing new actions to counter that energy. But for right now, let yourself have it. Don't try and positively think yourself out of it. Don't try and, you know, put on a happy face over it. Don't do any of those strategies, which essentially just push it to the side. Let it be. Because we have to tell you, you're still in a safe world under Joe Biden.
For a few more days.
For you know, until Donald Trump takes the next oath of office, you are. Because Joe Biden, whether no matter who spoke against him, is literally, he has been a strong and effective president.
The good
and,
man.
And he, and because the Supreme Court also granted him a lot of immunity powers, it might just startle the shit out of the Republicans, some of the things that he could do to forestall them in advance, and the Supreme Court will have stepped in their own bear trap.
But he probably won't do it.
No, he's in acceptance, so it's not his style.
Yeah.
But if he's pushed and if he thought people were really in danger, yeah, he would.
The question is whether the Supreme Court would actually allow it, because they didn't say the president can do it. They said that they will decide whether the president is acting in a professional capacity.
And in that regard, again, it's still stepping into their own bear trap. And if it's in extreme cases, you know, he would do things that would still throw wrenches in their works.
I would love it if Joe would do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that could be your letters to the White House. Dear Joe, for my New Year's resolution, I want you to kick the snot out of the Republican totalitarians.
I want you to save democracy.
Save democracy.
That's a better way. I was thinking more of sending him an AR-15 for his birthday and say, hey, Joe, let loose. But that's just me.
Yeah, and that's the shadow. And that's the shadow side of yourself that you also
need
to face. Yeah. And maybe buy yourself an AR-15. If you really want to own that side, maybe you need to own the gun. Because if they come out defending democracy, maybe what you have to do.
My karmic theme is obliteration. So I've done that lots in the past life. So I'm really not going to blow anybody up this time. But I like to think about it because it gives me pleasure.
It is. Yes, right. It's fun. It's fun. So we're glad we could give you some upliftment, Karen. Okay. So let's see, was it Angela or May who was next? We'll let you guys decide whoever's going to jump in next. It looks like Angela and May has got some kind of thing up, so we don't see her yet. Why don't you, because we can see you. Don't worry, May, we won't forget you. You have to unmute yourself, though.
Okay. Okay, so... You say, you know, the advice was like, you know, have start a conversation with the other side. The problem is having...
You don't have to rush out and do that, by the way, Angela. You don't.
Well, I have a MAGA cousin, and I have been doing this for many years with him. And, you know, I just decided we're not going to talk about politics anymore, and we just sort of discuss things. And he's told me things that I don't think anybody else in the family knows, you know, so it's just... really, really weird. But the problem for me with the MAGAs, is the fact that things like logic, evidence, you know, inductive reasoning, deductive reasoning, and all manner of cognitive functioning seem to be lacking in these people. They, you know, they just believe what they want to believe. They ignore all evidence to the contrary. And I don't know what good talking to them would do.
Okay, by the way, that will change. And as we said, you don't have to talk to them for the next 6 months. It's as there is, as the contrary evidence starts to mount.
Yeah, when it begins to affect them personally,
exactly.
That's
Exactly. That's right. Then you'll, because folks, one of the things about these, that side is they desperately want to be heard. And you're right, they don't have a very good vocabulary to express themselves, and they choose to deny and or obliterate. And in fairness, they weren't trained or educated very well in it. So a lot of it, they come by it naturally, and they come by this ri rigidity. You know that many of these people are operating out of their child subpersonality, their wounded child subpersonality, and they're standing around almost like little kids on a playground who believe that their guy is the good guy, and that Kamala Harris was the bully, and our guy won. He beat her up. That's the frame of reference they're coming from. Now, we're saying that not because it's true and right in some absolute spiritual sense. We're not saying that at all. But what we are saying is, if you want to at least be honest with the awareness of why this is happening, understand that's where they're coming from. These are damaged, traumatized little children who have been, in their own way, repressed enough. And they saw their little orange-haired savior come along. And remember, we said this is a guy who his swearing for them and had no negative consequence. They said, "Yay! The nuns can't punish us." I mean, it was literally that kind of internal sort of childlike response. So again, when things start mounting on them and closing in on them, don't worry. There will be opportunities where you'll start seeing the cracks in that facade, in their ability to maintain that Maya, that belief structure. It'll start collapsing. And at that point, as we said, your choice is to say, "Nanner, nanner, nanner," like another kid, and say, "I told you so," and be just as snide and perpetuate that wheel of karma, or say, "Yeah, this is what I saw before. And it's really sucks. And I'm sorry you're having to go through this. Are you ready to try and do something different?" Putting that
Well, can I?
back in there, that in that court, that's all you got to say. The rest, you don't have to tell them anything. In fact, you're hearing them and just saying, "Yeah, I get it." Because that's really a lot of what they've needed. But right now, they're on a high. But let us say one other thing, ladies and gentlemen. Do you notice how many MAGA people have just clammed up? They were relieved that they didn't have to go to arms for Trump. They were relieved that there wasn't going to be a civil, uprising because Trump lost. Because they would have felt the obligation and need to do it, not because they loved him so much, but because they'd be afraid of the peer pressure not to. So when he won, it was like this collective. And we would ask you to consider that many of you, in fact, even had a similar kind of relief when you said, "Oh, okay, we lost and that sucked. And even losing badly, but at least we're not going to see all these people out in the street, and then we'll be confronted with what we got to do to defend ourselves or against them." And that enormous wave of relief from both sides of the equation is palpable here. And yes, Jillian, we agree. When many of them start those two lower castes of the Republican voting electorate lose their Medicaid, lose their food stamps, lose their extra supports, lose some of their, child tax credits that are the only things keeping them going, then that freak out. And it will be absolutely patently obvious because it's all Republican controlled now. The administration, the House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court, and most of the lower courts. And they won't be able to deny it. They can't claim liberals did it or did it. Some of them may hold on to, "Well, you liberals sold us down the river." Well, and then you just say, "Well, if we did that, guess who's paddling now? It's your guys."
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that you can say and just be real with it. But you don't have to do anything right now, Angela. You have our permission to, to just be where you're at.
Well, I also wanted to talk about one other thing, and that is that liberals and Democrats have never thought that having a, liberal infrastructure, building a liberal infrastructure the same way the right has done for the last 40 years. That's the reason why they've been successful, is because they have, they have billionaires who are willing to sink money in for many, many years, even if they didn't get anything back in the beginning, in order to achieve their vision of where they wanted to go. And so they don't seem to think that what we need and what we don't have is a counter narrative to all the other BS that's out there. MSNBC has never been and never was a liberal counter to Fox. Never. They never wanted that title. They've had any number of people who've run the place who have been conservatives. They've been trying to get people out, and they did. They got a lot of real liberals out, and they placed them with these, other people that, and we don't really have an infrastructure because the left doesn't see any need to invest in one. They don't prop up the people who are, the Stephanie Millers and the Tom Hartmans and the, I'm watching a lot of these people on YouTube, like Brian Taylor Cohen, and there's a number, Tennessee Brando, who's on Tennessee, and he's like this kind of redneck liberal, but he's great. They don't believe in investing in any of those. They don't. And they never have, and they poo-poo it. And for some reason, they seem to think that the corporate media was going to carry their message, and the corporate media had little interest in doing that because they are making a lot of money on ads and everything else. And so, and being at the top, the wealthy who own them, wanted their Trump tax cuts. So we have never invested in an infrastructure of pundits and writing, and are very done very little, because our millionaires don't see a reason to do that.
So if we
And
may
many of
interject, what's been the social scare word since the end of the Second World War? Why there would not be any kind of quote, liberal or even let alone government kind of investments in that? What was the liberal scare word? That's it. Thank you, Karen Schwanger.
Marxist.
Socialism,
Marxism.
Marxism, and even worse, communism. And the real what re, what is real behind the way communism has been practiced, quote, behind the Iron Curtain back then, is it was totalitarianism, not anywhere near real communism in the way that
Right.
Marx presented it. Now, why we want to back out to that is because, truth be told, Angela, this is where, quote, liberals and Democrats have to, put on the hip waders of their own shit. And that is just as many liberals took money from, moneying interests for ever since ever since Hubert Humphrey ran, and that arc has just been increasing as laws that were meant to help balance and make elections more fair and less money driven had gotten written off the books, and Democrats said, oh shit, well we can't. We got to kind of go along with the rich guys because we got to get enough money to win our elections. So they've participated in this process. And now what they find is, they are literally kind of standing in shit up to their eyeballs for having done so. But they participated. And we don't want to, because we just really need to say that part of what you see at this world juncture right now is not about Democrats and Republicans, liberals versus conservatives. It's about the ultra have and power brokers against those that are not. Karen Dewey or someone mentioned, or maybe it was Deborah, who mentioned, well, what about Bill Gates, who has come across as semi-socially, liberal or a main, mainstream or moderate, and then George Soros, who is a billionaire who has had and made real forays in many Eastern European countries, excuse me, to try and save, well, in the, to try and save democracy or prop it up. Well, the first of all, he has been so bashed and diminished in the United States that, you know, he has been rendered, even as a billionaire, completely ineffective. And then Bill Gates is doing essentially what Jeff Bezos did by not allowing an endorsement of the Washington Post, which he owns. And that is, he has just taken a pass and played the silence game, you know? Yeah. And in doing that, you know, it's that notion about, you know, by doing nothing or remaining neutral, you are not actually neutral. You are supporting, you know, the dominant side, right? And yeah. So anyway, in that regard, yes, there are parts of, you know, whether you're talking about Gates and Soros, that there are still money sources that are out there. But as far as influences and power that will influence the politics game and the decision-making, not so much. Because they've got their own agendas. Bill Gates is the number one owner of farmland in the United States. And he's got his own agendas. He's the number one, you know, advocate for for pro-technology fossil fuel replacement and or carbon sequestration. But he is not talking about planting trees or doing it with, you know, rearranging of technology. He's just saying, oh, no, we'll go to nuclear. We'll go to all these other things. And he's going to make a bundle off of it. And then when it comes to solving any of the food prices, food problems, you know, he is just going to wear that soil into dust, you know, with all the, you know, his support of, you know, various kinds of hyper productivity growing practices, you know, and Monsanto and various, you know, ADM and all that will love him for it. So, you know, the food prices may come down to a certain degree, except for the part that involves labor, which is a whole different discussion about the vilification of the migrant farm worker. But yeah. In any case, we agree with you on many subjects. But the part we wanted to say here is, again, now we're having a sociological, political, economic discussion. The sociology and the metaphysical input of this is, on the human interactive side, it's okay to grieve, be angry, and shake it off. As we said earlier, don't wear all your buttons of hurt and trauma and everything out on your sleeves where you can just get them hammered, because it'll drive you insane and you'll be ineffective. Get clear, get truly impartial, but also get principled, and then put your principles into practice. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to shock you. If you old souls really want to do something, stop shopping, period. Period.
Reverend Billy and the church of stop shopping.
We mean stop shopping at Amazon's and all the places that are owned by these huge corporate magnates, but also stop shopping and just collecting shit you don't need. That'll help. Even if just those 20 people in this group here did that, at least it'd be a contribution. But many of you are so just as equally addicted to consumption therapy, you know, to convenience dopamine hits, to instantaneous, you know, feedback and immediate reward and pleasure seeking. Many of you got to face that just as much as the other folks. And you guys even have more power because you know better. So we're not shaming you. We're just, you know, trying to help you put the onus where you can do something about it. And that's with yourselves. Okay, so thank you, Angela. We're going to, we got a few more hands up. So okay. May Stone and then Phil Fauché. If May is still there and...
Yeah. Hi, Steve. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you and see you, May. Yeah. You're fine.
Okay. I get the point about consumption. It's a interesting feeling of being swept up. You know, when you live in a country where, I guess, where you live in an environment where there's a sort of a force, an energy. It's not it does take some resistance to say no to all of that consuming. So, but I'm very glad to hear the reminder from you, nevertheless, that that this is something to seriously ponder and reflect on in terms of the choices of my actions as an individual. The question I actually had had in my mind for the purposes of airing this with you, with the consortium, and for others who are listening, was, yeah, metaphysically speaking, insofar as we do, you know, review our lives, I wanted to ask a question regarding Elon Musk,
right.
and you know, whether or not he thought about, you know, exactly what his role was going to be in this lifetime or this current lifetime of his, and whether he had anticipated the degree to which he is involved or associated with the political activities happening in this country. And then I just wanted to ask if you get a sense of what his soul age is, what his, that's what I'm curious about. What is his soul age? What is his, I don't know myself, what his role in essence is.
Okay, can we stop you just, and we'll answer, because there are other
course,
hands going
yes,
up. All right,
of
there.
Course.
Okay, so we'll give you a few overleaves. Elon Musk is a king. He is a second level old king. He is manifesting fifth level young. He is instinctively centered in the intellectual part. He is in arrogance, could be the poster child. Do you think Trump is an arrogance? Notice how Trump will defer to him. That's how much arrogance he's got going on. He's also a primarily, he's got a huge quantity of Uranian body type, which means he's a destructive, you know, blow it up kind of type. He knew that when he was coming in, he wanted to make some big changes, right? And so his early career, so he came into a nice, rich South African family, got a whole lot of imprinting on apartheid, saw how good that was, especially for a white guy, you know, then, you know, and then, you know, realized, oh, I'll come to America and good old money will rule the day. And so he started getting, you know, this idea of, okay, I can do just about whatever I want. Because as many of you know, Elon Musk has never invented anything. Didn't invent PayPal. He didn't invent Tesla. He didn't invent any of his other business adventures, SpaceX or anything. He's just funded them. Okay. And why that's significant is because that shows the epitome of the negative side of money's power, is that it doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to be reasonable. It doesn't have to be efficient. It doesn't have to be well thought out. It just has to be funded. And people who have gobs and gobs, you saw that one quick flash of billions that we showed. A million is, you know, 11 days. A million seconds is 11 days. A billion seconds is 31 years. That's the scale that we ask people to consider when you think about billionaires. That's how much power, overwhelming, they have over the rest of the economy, and even to match potentially some governments in the world. Now, so when talking about Elon and the metaphysics of this, let us then say to you and extend this, you know, only a couple of our channels in this teaching acknowledge that there is anything called collective karma. You know, many of our channels actually talk about, oh no, it's all individual thing. We say nonsense. All of you as souls, to whatever degree you are caught up in the web of this cyclonic set of events, will be, you know, involved in the coming back to work through these things in, you know, lives in future. How you come back, what you do, you know, is obviously yet to be determined, because essence figures those things out in the, you know, in between lives. There is a postulate in this teaching that, oh, you could tell essence what you really want and it's going to carry it out. And we'd like to tell you, it's like, that's like a 2-year-old telling its grandparent this is how it's going to be treated. The grandparent may pat it on the head and say, yes, that's really nice. Or it may swat it, and say, don't talk to me. But that's a metaphor and an analogy that we really want you to understand. You can start conversing with essence and saying, okay, how do I align myself to not just my own greatest good? Because that is the young soul imprinting that all of you old souls still got, is that individuality and that looking at it from your own personal perspectives, rather than what old soul paradigm, which you guys really haven't experienced in the world yet, would be, what is the greatest good for the greatest number in the most realistic way? And, that is an orientation that is hardly ever addressed here. And it will be something then you will all be involved in helping to make it create, okay? So in any case, why we're getting, trying to answer your question in that regard is, again, what you do here for the rest of your lives, has impact in the way that you're going to roll over and roll out into the next life. And so the more that you can do now, and not just trimming your consumption, or if we may, to poke a little fun at you, not just contemplate trimming your consumption, but take a meat axe to it and stop, the self-indulgences that many old souls, we don't want to pick on just you, May. Many an old soul really is self-indulgent about that. And we thank you for those of you who were saying things like guilty. Oh, yeah, that's me. I relate. You know what we say to you? Bless you. But we don't want you to feel guilty. We want you to take action on your behalf. Feeling guilt is a waste of energy. But ignoring guilt in the name of not having it is also just as big a self-deception. So, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, we hope.
So he wanted to make a splash. Did he also anticipate that that would involve him sort of connecting himself to politicians and politics?
He thought he would be a savior. He himself did. Mm-hmm. He thought he'd be a savior. And he's been given a role by Trump that he might, he instead of a savior, he'll call himself a savior and be a destroyer. But the thing about it is his own trauma is so great, and his own Maya, his own self-delusion is so great that he is now caught in this web of absolute power mongering. And yet his internal dialogue is, I walk on water, and pun intended. So I hope you don't mind. Maybe we're going to we have to leave it at that. So we can get to Phil and then to Richard. Okay. So Phil.
Yeah. When you said 25 years, that hit me pretty hard. So I was just wondering, because I'm 78, so I'm not going to see the end of that.
That's right.
I guess one part of the question is, you say this disillusionment will happen, but that seems like in the near term. So there must be a lot of change.
Another word for disillusionment on the metaphysical side is disintegration of current structures. And that by definition is an assimilative axis quality. Now, assimilative axis is the mature soul scholar orientation. Under that, when there is a whole lot of erratic, disorganized things, guess what? There's also a lot of new emergence, a lot of new creation, a lot of new things that can pop up and take root and start to actually pop up. It is not just doom and gloom that we're trying to say. If anything, much of today's talk has been trying to acknowledge the doom and gloom emotionally that many of you feel weighed down by. And what we're saying is deal with the emotions directly, allow them to pass so that you can open yourself to the new vibrational operations that even with the heavy vibration and dense energy that has been brought in, that dense energy is not impervious to you guys being able to create around the sides, create through the cracks, associate in spite of your own lazinesses. Because let's face it, that's one of the negative poles of you all souls, is being lazy. You know, if we may be so blunt, you know, well, I don't feel like it today. My aura isn't fluffed. I need to go meditate on this. I need a chalice and a Eucharist, the old soul version, a glass of wine and a hunk of French bread, right? You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing, because it represents, you know, as old souls on the metaphysical level, it's understandable. You guys are tired. You've had more soul ages. You've been through all these kind of lessons personally. So when you look at this shit, you go, what's the matter with you people? Well, I'm just stepping aside. Well, that's all very well and good, but you are not dead, and you still live in the milieu of this entire thing. So that's why we said, make it palatable. That's fine. Stop texting and start calling. That's one.
So it's a kind of catalyst, what's happening with,
I mean, you know, Karen Willett just pointed out, for instance, that you, those of you who are astrologers, know that, you know, Pluto, it's been a big Pluto cycle, and it's, you know, it's going to be almost done here in a little while. Well, guess what? For those of you who are followers of the Vedas, thank you, Maystone, a follower of the Vedas, that is to say the Hindu religious Upanishads and, you know, Hinduism, know that the Kali Yuga, this era of great collapse and reformation is now at its nadir, and it's starting a new formation. So there are things that are going to happen, but these are much more slow, and these are much more incremental. But what we are offering you is the things that you can focus on and do in the presence in that time yourself, without having to, you know, rely on channels or essences or deities. These are your own agencies as persons that you can take to do things. And you're right, Phil, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be here at 103. So you don't have to worry about it. In fact, the best thing that you can do is enjoy yourself as much as you can. Richard is actually next, by the way, Catherine, and then I'll get to you, and that'll be the last one. So enjoy yourself the best that you can. It's okay to take care of your aches and pains, but as we said, really look at all the ways that you spend, and also look at all the ways that you give all of your traumas a lot of weight and distract you. And that's an admonition for all of you. All of you are now in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. You guys know yourselves backwards and forwards. You don't have to go back there and say, oh, well, it's this trauma revisiting me, and I know it's just this. You just give it a lovely hello, how are you, and see ya. You know, maybe you'll deal with it again next lifetime. And in the meantime, turn and face the future. You know all of your buttons. Don't let them be pushed.
I was just going to comment that Brian had a question in the chat.
Oh, he did. Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, Richard, I told Richard that I would meet him next. So I'm going to let Richard come up. By the way, everyone, this is a good friend of mine, Richard Abbott. He's an early old priest. He's joining us by my invitation tonight. Karen said Xanax. So Richard, you wanted to make a comment or even show something.
Well, no. Basically, well, first, this has all been very great, and I much appreciate being here, and thanks. And so you really said a lot right before my share here, which is, well, first, I'm among some Pluto truthers. They say Pluto's not a planet, but for those of us who went to school with Pluto lunchboxes, you know, I'm amongst Pluto truthers, you know, thank you. Oh, now I feel much better already, you know, but also too, getting out of our way or personal, personal laziness is not an excuse. and also from the beginning facing backwards. One of the things we can do, you know, immediately is deal with the human thing of projection. Projection is so overwhelming.
Yes.
Where are we doing it? How yes. can we interrupt yes. our own projection?
Yes.
America is a young, slow country because it refuses to grow up, because it refuses to deal with its history. And we are enticed and seduced into participating in this process while we are not dealing with the meta crises and, you know, all the imminent destruction we're on the verge of. And so it might be, you know, that America needs to collapse and Donald Trump will take it out, you know. And also, too, one of the things about projection is that as liberals, we have an inherent projection that we care about the outcomes for other people, right? Is this working for you? They don't. They're not going to stop if they run roughshod and eat up their own followers and create chaos. I mean, so what? That's not on their radar. That's not their problem. You were in the way. That's why you got run over. So we shouldn't, to pay attention to our own projections and like that they don't play the way we do. It's not going to roll out that way. And also, too, just as a word, like I'm reminding myself, we're at the tail end of 4 years of normality and there's an economy and we're okay. And it's like, and what Republicans do is that they freaking destroy everything and don't care. And we might be, and so there may be, there will be a lot of destruction maybe in our economically. So it would be well to batten down the hatches and next year will not be like this year and stuff like that. So anyway, but appreciate that. That's it. But just that an immediate thing I'm doing for myself is to try to address my own projection, because like the whole, you know, incel, you know, so the young men overthrew the constitutional order, but they still can't get a date.
Right.
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 Right. I mean, right. And so they are the ultimate DEI hires.
Interesting way of flipping that notion. So yeah,
right. We right. And so we are waiting and holding our breath for these people to vote our way.
They won't.
And spend $1 billion and lost.
Right.
So I mean, this is what America does. It seduces. And, you know, when we participate, so there's elections, but basically that we are, America's job is to seduce us into being about it.
Yeah, in a very real sense.
So it's about us. So I got from your very first share, we are advancing backwards. And the thing is, if we can turn ourselves around and address yes. our own projections and actually deal with tangible functional reality correctly, the others will be bumping and tripping over ottomans and running into walls and it won't work and they won't know why. But we need to know where we are truthfully.
Yes.
That's something we can all do.
Excellent, okay, Richard. Yes. And by the way, thank you for the excellent synthesis of a lot of the intentions that we put out and we're trying to say today. Thank you very much for that input. Excellent.
Appreciate it.
And we hope that all of you feel the vibrational upliftment, but also solidity of that. Not over positivity, not happy, happy, joy, joy, but real grounded truth and how solidifying that is. It doesn't mean it's pleasant to look at, doesn't mean it's easy, but it's solidifying. And that's what vibration is. And that's why you've heard us this entire year, 2024 and much of 2023, shift our narratives to the notions of what vibration are and how they differ from just good feeling. They are not the same. And people need to be, and you guys have the capacity to start differentiating, because sometimes saying the hard things is vibrationally much higher and more uplifting. Now, let's answer Brian's question here, because it's relevant and it's important, and it's a probability statement that he's asking for. So we're going to give him one. We can tell you that in the next 2 years, believe it or not, Brian, that because Trump was elected, the probability of civil war went down significantly. And even with the acrimony that he is going to introduce into the populace, there will be enough of his own supporters that will have acrimony that will turn against them, that will not be looking necessary for the scapegoats in the way that they are right out the chute here, or at least keeping their focus on it, such that they're going to divvy up sides and take up arms, and or you, as you know, the opposite, take up arms. Or, you know, the truth be told, there's a number of people who might just, out of the fear and hopelessness, take themselves out, because as we said, the Tao, I mean, the Earth and the Tao has just said, oh, you know, there's a big piece of life of on the human plane that is redundant and needs to go. And however it happens, it happens. The Tao is not particular. It is truly the neutral agent. So, the probability of civil war right now is only at about 10% for the next, what looks like 2 to 3 years. The dissolution of the United States. Now, let us take that turn, that phrasing, and really revamp it. The fiscal body and the political entity known as the United States is going to be here for quite some time. But the way that the Constitution has divvied out rights and has been practiced in the courts, that actually has about a 30% probability of really diminishing over the course of the next 4 years. And so that is much higher before any kind of a shooting war or anything like that happens, but it'll remain as an intact thing. But it just won't resemble what it once did or be operated in the same way. And depending upon how much, I guess you can call it, you know, success, or I guess we should say how much Trump achieves his maniacal madnesses of just acting in revenge, and then the other, and then his party goes along with him and rubber stamps everything, that will increase the probability of this disillusionment. We don't think it's going to necessarily increase the probability of actual civil war in the way that you see it in the world, or have seen it in the world, let alone the Civil War of 150 years ago in the United States. So, in any case, we hope that has been a clear enough analysis. And, you know, obviously, folks, we want to tell you that in the end of this chaos period and in this next 25-year period, while you have set a trajectory like a rocket aiming at a certain star system, the point is, on that, in that voyage, in that journey on the way to that star system, you can make all sorts of alterations, and you can do lots of things on the ship while it's heading in that direction. So you are not without choices. Even you're not without, you know, you're not looking at just bad choices and the lesser of evils. You are actually looking at, there are multiple things, but you must create them, you must invent them, and you must get outside of the box. Remember, as Alvin Toffler said on that tile that we showed you in PowerPoint, said the people where will be the greatest tragedy or the greatest problem is where you can't learn anew, you can't unlearn habits you've had, and you won't relearn things that you might not have even known before. And one of the things that much of these folks that, you know, right now you feel like are the enemies or have let you down or stupid, is many of them will have hard civics lessons. but they will finally get them. And they'll have hard economic lessons, like the fact that we're going to give you a very hard, even disgusting, and we'll own it, metaphor. The only way that trickle-down economics works is imagine a giant peeing on everybody. That's trickle-down economics. And that's it. That's the mindset of how the wealthy really use it. Is like, okay, whatever might get smeared around and the crumbs, they can have them, but we'll tout it and we'll market it, we'll propagandize it as it's this great thing because there are equal markets, there's free enterprise. And of course, that is the populist notion of complete and utter deception on a massive level that most people don't have the education, nor do they have the political willingness to open their eyes, at least as yet. Why? Because it's a safe historical narrative. And until those narratives absolutely collapse underneath them, they won't listen to anything else. You guys know a lot of these narratives are already escaped, so build some new ones, as both Richard and Phil, were suggesting, and Angela as well. Build some new narratives, and not just positive language, but language that confronts and shows the bullshit in a lot of these old systems and their flaws, and make it so that pe these people can hear it. But also, they'll hear it when things start to fall apart, and then empathize with them that it's falling apart, and then say, well, you know. So, anyway, ladies and gentlemen,
Can I just say one last thing, Steve?
I guess you're going to.
I guess I'm going to.
Yes.
I put something in the chat, which
Yes.
is the Capitol switchboard. That's for the US Capitol. And if you want to call your representative or your senator, you call that number and you give them your zip code. I think you would just plug it in. And then you can tell them what you think. I think our best chance for a lot of this is to say things like call our representatives and make it really uncomfortable for them to cut Medicare, make it really uncomfortable for them to cut Social Security, make it really uncomfortable for them to do some really ugly things.
Yes,
And
great.
that's what we can do in between voting. And I have that, I call that number a lot. So they will cut it, actually. If you're familiar with Project 2025, what they want to do with Social Security is secure it as a pool and not have it grow anymore, so it just gets eaten down. So
Erodes. It will
it
erode.
erodes.
Yes. And of course, that's a sideways method of diminishing it, cutting it, eliminating it,
And
and
they
screwing
call
it.
it, we will protect it. They will protect it. They
Yeah.
will set it aside. They
Right.
will not let it grow.
Right. So,
Anyway, this is one of the things I've spent my life doing. So this is my area. Sorry.
understood. Understood. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. As always,
Thank you.
we wish you empowerment, and we also hope that whatever re remaining grief, resentment, sadness, hopelessness that you may have, give yourself permission to have it without any what ifs. Just let it run through your body, empty it out like it's old oil, and then put in some new oil that says, I'm just not going to do the same old things anymore. And then start anew in January. But in the meantime, let yourself have it. And you may just have an actual great set of holidays. And thank you all again for coming. We will see you begin again at the beginning of the year for the 2025 overview. And that's it for this evening. So